Broadcast Studios, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome to ABQ Connect. We're presented by Bosque Home Services. Carlos and his team provide heating, cooling, plumbing, roofing, and restoration services. Call 444-7200. Bosque Home Services, locally grown, locally owned. I'm joined in studio today by Holly Slade. Hi, Holly.
Hi, Jim. How are you?
Well, I appreciate that you contribute to our program all the time, but I know you've got this massive job being a realtor with Dave Slade and Associates Realtors, but you have an even bigger job trying to keep our children fed on the weekends with Feed New Mexico Kids.
It's true. Thankfully, I have about 50 volunteers that help me with that bigger job of Feed New Mexico Kids. There is no way I could handle that on my own.
Well, we want our listeners to understand, you know, you're a businesswoman and you're in partnership with your husband.
Right.
You guys do some construction, you restore some houses, you sell real estate, you help people list and sell, you help people buy, the whole gamut. And at the same time, constantly you have in the back of your mind, are there children on the weekends that don't have food?
Right. It's true. It is in the back of my mind. You know, the Lord put it there, and I believe that, you know, once upon a time, I think that I believed I served an either or God. Mm-hmm. Like you could do either this or that. And it was actually a real estate training seminar I was at. And the guy said, you know, we don't serve an either or God. We serve a both and God. And so when this was put on my heart, you know, I knew that I couldn't develop Feed New Mexico Kids or run it by myself or effectively get the food out there by myself. But the Lord put the idea on my heart. So it was my responsibility to present the idea and then get volunteers, or, you know, pray for the Lord to bring volunteers is more accurate, to make it happen. So literally, while I'm selling real estate, or even while I'm sitting here in studio, I have volunteers right now that are currently orchestrating purchasing macaroni and cheese because for whatever reason, there's a macaroni and cheese shortage in Albuquerque. Who knew? But we discovered it last week. And so one of our volunteers drove to Santa Fe to get the single serve mac and cheese, you know, cups that we need in our snack pack. And so sure enough, we put our order in again today, and we order a lot. We do 1,500 snack packs a week, and Sam's Club doesn't have any mac and cheese. So I have a whole team of volunteers. While I'm sitting here and talking to you about mac and cheese, they're figuring out how to get it.
Mm. This is a perpetual problem, but I'm going to ask you what seems like maybe an oversimplification in the form of a question, and that is, do you believe that we can end childhood hunger in New Mexico?
I do. You know, if we were California, I think I would approach it with a little more trepidation because of the population. We are not that populous of a state. I mean, this is a completely doable goal in New Mexico. And we happen to have a whole lot of people with extra means. I think what's fascinating, and a credit and a huge shout out to your listeners and the community in New Mexico, is during 2020, in a pandemic, our numbers doubled. So during COVID, one out of every three nonprofits was struggling and might not make it. But this is a local cause with local people who respond and local people who benefit. And so we went from delivering 51 tons of food in 2019 to delivering over 122 tons of food in 2020 during a pandemic. I mean, you just can't believe what was going on in the beginning, just with supply chain issues, you know. And remember when you couldn't buy more than one of anything, and we had to get a letter from the governor that would allow us to buy in bulk, and then even the warehouse stores were running short, and we had to go out and wholesale. And it turns out that getting it wholesale costs more than it did buying it, you know, retail at the warehouse stores. And I mean, we had so many other things complicating it than just trying to get the food to the children while the schools, oh, by the way, were shut down. Mm-hmm. And, but the people gave. And so they dug down and they gave twice what they gave the year before. Now, I'm not saying every individual gave twice, but the giving was doubled and the giving out was doubled. And that really has been what the Lord has done every year with this ministry, is he's doubled it every year. As a business plan, as a businesswoman, I wouldn't set out with my business plan being, I'm going to double every year. Because, you know, you eventually get to a place where that becomes an enormous number. I believe that the need is there for us to double, even just in Albuquerque, to cover the need at APS. Mm-hmm. You know, it sounds like so much food, 122 tons. And so that comes out to about 86,000, well, precisely 86,222 snack packs that we gave out in 2020. But we distribute about 48 weeks out of the year. Okay, so that is only 1,796 kiddos. Now, they get those snack packs weekly. But our original numbers when we started back in 2017 were that we had roughly 3,000 kids that qualified for McKinney-Vento benefits, which meant they were, you know, homeless or on the verge of homelessness. And those definitions change in the children's circumstances change. You know, somebody gets out of jail, a parent gets out of jail, or, you know, they're able to get housing or whatever. But if we just look at the kids that are getting Title I breakfast and lunch, you know, you don't have to be overly involved in APS to know that's a lot of kids. And again, that's a number that fluctuates as well. So I know that we at least have to double in Albuquerque alone, and that's before we even fully serve our rural communities, because we have a wonderful partner down in Valencia County, and it's the Busky Farms Baptist Church down there that serves Valencia County, and they have much more need down there than they're able to fill. And so, you know, there's one county where we know isn't having its needs met already. And then as you start to go out into rural New Mexico, the need just sort of explodes.
All of us have an idea of how much food costs just to feed ourselves. Mm-hmm. If you're a married couple or even an individual, you know what it costs to buy groceries. If you're a parent, you're profoundly aware,
right,
of how much food costs. So I'm going to skip all the way down to the bottom of my list. Is we need to appeal to our listeners that,
right,
you have a lot of people that are helping you monthly.
Yes.
Because the problem is perpetual and it doesn't go away.
No.
And you really appreciate people that are thoughtful to give you a little bit every month to help you provide snack packs for children. Mm-hmm.
We spend between about $5,000 a week buying groceries for these kids. And, you know, I mean, $5,000 a week to feed 1,796 kids, that's not bad.
But Holly, if you raise $10,000 a month, that wouldn't go in a bank account. That would be buying food and feeding more kids.
Oh, yeah.
And the overhead, you don't have an allocation to overhead.
No.
Almost all of that money, with the exception of some packaging,
right,
some Ziploc bags and those kind of things, everything is going to feed the kids.
Yes. We do not have any paid employees at this point. Calvary has a staff member that they allocate part of her hours to help us, which is a godsend because she has mad administrative skills and we need those. But I'm a volunteer. I mean, I have a warehouse manager that probably puts in at least 20 hours a week over there. He's volunteer. All of our delivery people use their own gas. They use their own gas money to get all of these snack packs all over this city. And this is true at every church that participates. All of their volunteers use their own gas money, their own time. We have a gentleman who today is driving up to Santa Fe to get those single-serve mac and cheeses. So I am going to do a shout-out. If anybody is going to the grocery store, to a Smith's, a Target, a Walmart, someplace other than a Sam's Club, please get some single-serve mac and cheese in the cups and bring it on over here to Calvary and drop it off in the food bins, because we're not going to have enough this week. Mm. And we just trust the Lord to provide. So there's a shout-out.
So, Holly, I know that you teach churches, businesses, other people that want to get involved. Maybe they adopt a school and they pack their own snack packs. I want you to tell us about the fundamentals of Feed New Mexico Kids, what you do by providing these snack packs to children for the weekends, and then just reiterate how you teach people to do it.
Right. So, you know, the snack packs are designed for kids who in a normal year have a Title I breakfast and lunch. They may only have a Title I lunch. But then when the weekend rolls around, there's not enough food in the household for these children to have adequate nutrition over the weekend. There were third graders that during their health check were losing 2 pounds over the weekend. That is an enormous percentage if you consider how tall a third grader is, right? And also the cafeteria workers reporting and teachers were reporting especially that kids would come in just ravenous Monday morning. And at the Title I breakfast, there were especially kids that were going around, are you going to eat that? Are you going to eat that? Are you going to eat that? And so they knew, they've known that there's not enough food on the weekend. And in the world of childhood food insecurity, they actually say that Sunday is the hungriest day of the week because the kids will sort of stash away non-perishable things that might be from their lunch or from their breakfast, and they'll stash them away intending to eat them over the weekend. But then Saturday comes and they're hungry and they end up eating them all on Saturday. And then very often they simply don't eat on Sunday. And when the Lord first put this on my heart, really the vision was how food-oriented Sunday is for people who are going to church. And we live in a church-going community, whether it's Catholic church, Christian church. I mean, you know, we've got a lot of people that go to church in this community. And afterwards, it's usually about where are we having Sunday brunch? Whose house are we going to for Sunday dinner? It's all about, you know, the fellowshipping over food, which is a beautiful thing. But I just kept seeing, you know, what if Jesus were to plant his feet in Albuquerque, New Mexico, pull back the veil, and we could see that there were children within a mile radius of our own home that were eating nothing on a Sunday. And I just kept thinking, well, somebody has to do something about that. And, you know, lo and behold, the Lord says, you know, congratulations, you're that somebody. And so, you know, I spent a lot of time trying to figure out how could this be done where it doesn't tax a church? You know, most churches are full of people who are overworked. You know, there's more work than there are, you know, hands to get it done. And so this is designed to be a completely volunteer-run organization. So we go in, we show people how to shop for the food, how to take food donations from their people who attend, how to have a food drive. We have a United Methodist Church up in Rio Rancho that is wonderful. It's all senior citizens, and it's High Desert United Methodist. And they used a sign-up sheet where they would have people volunteer to sign up, and they would pack their snack packs quarterly. And so their sign-up sheet created an even 25 snack packs. Boom. And so there was no overage. You know, like we didn't have 100 packages of ramen and 3 cans of ravioli. And so they actually came up with that system. So each church has just contributed brilliantly to the plan because they've kind of said, well, our fellowship is shaped this way. How can we work it out to work with our fellowship? So I kind of go in with the cumulative knowledge of the churches that are involved so far and say, okay, if you have a very small church and we need to use a sign-up sheet, this is how we do it. If you have a mega church, this is how we do it because sign-up sheets don't work at mega churches, mm-hmm. you know. And so we go from there and here's how you shop and these are the ingredients that work. We started out with different ingredients when we first started out, and we found out what the kids like and what the kids don't like, found out how to make shopping easier. And so there's a formula that goes into the snack pack. But if somebody donates cookies, for instance, we put them in. If somebody calls and says, you know, hey, we've got an expired or soon to expire case lot of this, can you use it? We put it in. So we had a few weeks just recently, somebody donated a whole bunch of protein bars that were going to, had a Best Buy date, in 1 month. And so we put 3 in each snack pack in order to get them out and eaten before the Best Buy date. You know, so we've learned a lot along the way. And, so we'll go in and we'll teach churches. I've stood in people's pulpits and presented to their fellowship. I stay out in their foyer and answer questions afterward. And then their lead person at each church, just we stay in communication. If they have questions, we do our best to answer. And so we are just kind of a team of people leading their church in feeding children.
Holly Slade, she's the co-owner of Dave Slade & Associates Realtors in Albuquerque, and she is the founder of Feed New Mexico Kids. They're a nonprofit organization providing nutritious snacks for children in need on the weekends. She's going to be with us for three more segments. Please stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. If you're tired of old-school gimmicks and games while shopping for a new car, then experience something new school at Power Ford. We'll give you a better deal and a better experience. The better deal part? We'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico or put $1,000 cash in your pocket. The better experience part? You rated us Best of the City and Ford Dealer of the Year. Find your ride at mypowerford.com or come see us. We're on the affordable side of Albuquerque, on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
Hi, this is John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive. You have heard a word a lot here of late, and that word is essential. Here at Southern Boulevard Automotive, our master certified technicians understand that your car, truck, or SUV is essential to getting you from point A to point B. We are open for business. Our hours are 7 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. And don't forget that we have free towing with repairs. Just call for details. Our phone number is 892-2300. That's 892-2300. We are located on the corner of Southern and Western Hills across from McDonald's in Rio Rancho. And I'm here to tell you that the most essential thing in this life is the cross of Jesus. There is absolutely nothing more important to you and I. God saw you as essential and gave his only begotten Son that you would believe in him and have eternal life. Never minimize the cross. It's the centerpiece of the gospel, and never forget the hope you and I have in the empty tomb. I'm John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive.
Serving you and your family day and night. Call Bosky when you want it done right. For heating and cooling, plumbing and more. 24/7 we'll be at your door.
Locally grown, locally owned. Bosky Heating and Cooling. A portion goes back into the community. 444-7200.
For quality service like a breath of fresh air, call Bosky and we'll be there.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are back. Mr. Ryman points at me and says, Jim, go. You better put your headset on. Holly and I are visiting during the break. We always have a lot of good content during the break, Holly.
Right. I've heard it said, save it for the air. Like,
save it for the air.
We're supposed to sit here in silence and save it for the air.
Yeah, sometimes I try to get people up. Be quiet. You ought to say that on the radio. No, it's kind of hard sometimes to restate things, but you're very good at it. And Holly, I want to ask you, again, I mentioned to people, you are a sponsor of this program. In fact, on our next break, I get to read a nice little bit about Dave Slade and Associates. You sponsor ABQ Connect. You sponsor the ministry of KNKT Radio. We really appreciate that. But you're also the founder of Feed New Mexico Kids. And your job, your vocation is really helping to fund us, helping to fund Feed New Mexico Kids. I like to share that because I hope our listeners will understand that that is truly a ministry.
Yes. Yes, it is.
And it's not easy.
No, it's not. It's like I said, we don't serve an either or God. Oh, okay. I'll be involved in ministry once I'm retired. We can be more involved in ministry once we retire, but I really wanted people to understand that regardless of how busy we are in our vocation, there's always something for us to do, and there's seasons. Like, you know, moms who right now are trying to homeschool 3, 4, 5, 6 kids, not the season to be out there volunteering in some other capacity. But business owners who pay to advertise on Christian radio, that's how Christian radio stays on the air, you know. And so if we're going to spend our advertising dollars, spend it someplace where when it's not, you know, playing your commercial, at least it's playing something worthy. Playing something that has, you know, eternal benefit rather than, you know, some headbanger music with some not so great lyrics that might be influencing people to do some not so great things, you know?
Yeah, I've talked with Brian Nixon, who you know well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's probably like the most creative guy that I know. But he's literally the most interesting man in the world to me because he looks at art and culture. And he sees Christ in everything. He's the most non-critical. He's probably the smartest guy that I know, but he also doesn't evaluate, for example, he looks at all kinds of art. And we, our culture in New Mexico is so diverse. You have a lot of things coming out that some people would go, oh, well, that's not very Christian. Well, when Brian Nixon looks at it, he goes, man, I can see Christ in that. I can see why this artist is aware of the presence of God. He may not have the same view of God that I have, but this is what I see. And everything he does is so positive. But I bring him up because he is a person that is constantly an encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
He's always looking at things and thinking the best of people. Now, he realizes that we're all created as sinful beings. We're all flawed.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't surprise him when he sees sin. But he sees God in everything and Christ in everything. And, Holly, I'll ask you a quick question. Your ministry, Feed New Mexico Kids, you're not preaching at kids. You're not preaching at teachers.
Mm-mm.
But they know.
They know.
This is a Christian organization that is providing food for them.
Right. We're specifically disallowed from preaching to kids and preaching to teachers. And some people feel like that's a discrimination against Christianity. It's not. It really is a protection for children, because what I point out to people is if they open it up to Christians going in and preaching, to borrow your word, or proselytizing, to borrow, you know, a school regulation word, then that has to be opened up to all comers. And so if they open up to the Christians, then they have to open up to the Wiccans. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Halloween is probably most children's favorite holiday. And if you think about that, you think, all right, if you want the Christians to be able to go in on Christmas and tell about Jesus and Mary and the wise men and salvation, then the Wiccans get to go in on Halloween and teach how to do spells and incantations and whatever it is that they teach. So people have to understand this is not, you know, Christians being persecuted. This is a blanket policy for all faiths are not allowed to be proselytized, is what the school districts, how the school districts define it. And so what we do is we just go in and we love the children. And we show Christ's love, and we show Christ's love to the teachers and to the administrators. Many of the teachers themselves are Christians and know, and they so appreciate what we're doing. But you go back to scripture, and it's, you know, minister to widows and orphans in their time of need. And it doesn't say as long as you are sharing the gospel. There are, of course, we have the Great Commission. But that is not the only command we're given in Scripture. You know, there are so many examples that we are given in Scripture to be compassionate. You know, if you think about the Good Samaritan, again, caring for widows and orphans in their time of need. When Jesus said, you know, when you visited me when I was in prison, you fed me when I was hungry, you clothed me when I was naked. And the disciple said, when did we do this? And he said, when you did it as unto the least of these. Then he goes on to say, when you did not do it, you did not do it as unto me. And again, nowhere in there was the mention of the Great Commission. I'm not saying it omits the Great Commission. I'm saying it exists alongside the Great Commission, that we are also just to be people of benevolence. And eventually, you know what happens? People ask, why do you do that? Why do you care? Why do you take care of strangers? And in some cases, you know, let's take the example of Christians who take care of people who are unkind to them in return. And people witness it and they say, why do you do that? She's so mean, or he's so mean, or they speak to you so disparagingly. Why do you do it? Because Christ loves me. It's Christ's love in me that strengthens me to go out and do that. The truth is known. You know, there are little seeds, little inklings planted in every person. They eventually ask, or sometimes they just have a knowing. And we pray for these kids constantly. And we pray that they know beyond a shadow of a doubt, when they receive this snack pack, that there is a God in heaven who loves them and sees them. Mm. And that is our overarching prayer every single day that we pack snack packs. That's what that snack pack means. There is a God in heaven who loves you and sees you.
children are the focus of your ministry, but I would imagine that teachers who identify a child that is hungry and then have the opportunity to use Feed New Mexico Kids as a resource and can help that child get a snack pack, that's encouraging to them as individuals as well.
Yeah. In fact, one of the HUD housing directors told us it was a mental health lifeline for her workers because they encounter so much need and they're not personally able to meet all of the need that they encounter. And so being able to be part of bringing this additional assistance to children, when mothers weep because there just isn't quite enough food to get through the weekend, or the food that they have isn't as exciting as the food in a snack pack. We try and give the kids a balance of nutrition and belly fillers and a couple of treats. And so they tell us it's a mental health lifeline. Because we had a teacher, she was actually a teacher at another, involved with one of the other churches in town, and she was buying peanut butter and crackers for her own classroom. Because the kids were so hungry in the morning, they just couldn't even focus. They couldn't learn. There was no way for her to actually be a teacher unless she got some nutrition in them. It was a school that did not have a Title I breakfast. Well, she overspent 1 month just trying to feed her students, and she didn't have enough money for her own rent. So then imagine how that picture changes when that teacher has enough snack packs for every single child in her class who needs one. And now they can eat what they need to eat, and she can go about doing her job as a teacher and pay her own rent. You know, and it's amazing how often teachers and counselors and nurses come out of their own pocket over and over and over to take care of especially food needs for children. I mean, there was one school a couple years ago, we ended up giving them something like 160 snack packs a week. And when school opened up, there was some redistricting that happened, but there was also some changes in the homeless population. And their school was located next to one of the downtown parks, and they got this flood of homeless children that were gaunt. You know, children shouldn't be gaunt in their cheeks. And headaches and dizzy and just, and the teachers were just pooling money together, and one of them had run to Walmart and one had run to Safeway. And I mean, they were just scrambling the first month of school and, you know, finally connected with us, and we started bringing snack packs, and they just said that they had never seen hunger like this in a school year before. And that was, you know, 2 years ago. I don't even know what we're going to expect when school opens up again. I'm expecting a tidal wave.
We couldn't have imagined even what's happened in the last year. So talk to us a little bit about how food was distributed prior to COVID, what you've been doing. You already mentioned you doubled the amount of food that was distributed for 2020, right in the middle of the pandemic. And then what are you anticipating now, and how do you, I mean, kind of outline for us, we've already mentioned the teachers identifying kids, you've got counselors, you've got all kinds of ways you identify children in need.
Right. So it's schools and HUD housing and Boys and Girls Clubs and domestic violence shelters. I mean, that was one of the good things that came out of COVID, was we actually added other distribution points in addition to schools. So when school is in session, we work with the schools. Teachers and cafeteria workers are really the front line. They're the ones that see who's able to concentrate, who's falling asleep at recess, you know, who's hungry and asking all the other kids if they have something they're not going to finish. And so they will tell us how many snack packs they need at their school. And usually that number grows throughout the school year as the teachers observe and learn more about the families and that type of thing. The number just kind of steadily grows. And so we have our sea of volunteers that pack snack packs, and they're packed in gallon-sized Ziploc bags so that they can go discreetly into a child's backpack and their peers don't know that they're getting food assistance. We put 8 snack packs to a box, and we deliver cases and cases to schools. And they discreetly distribute them on a weekly basis. And then we go and we give them, you know, more snack packs and pick up our empty boxes. And, you know, we even reuse our empty boxes until they absolutely fall apart. We're very thrifty. And so that's what we do during a school year. When COVID hit, we scrambled, a lot of us. And so we shifted a few times as to where the snack packs were available. And so we've overlaid the grab-and-go lunch sites. And the counselors know these families in need because, in general, food for the child is not just the only need that's going on, right? Mm-hmm. There's something else going on in the family that the counselors are trying to connect families with other resources as well. So they usually have their phone numbers and, you know the families. So we've overlaid the distribution sites for the grab-and-go lunches. And then there are a couple other sites where people are able to pick up snack packs as well. We've partnered with HUD Housing so that we give snack packs, 326 snack packs to one HUD Housing facility, and their workers pass them out and then get to know the families and get to know where those additional needs are, because it's a point of trust. You know, we're not here to take your children away from you. We're here to help you with your children and, you know, guide you toward medical services or guide you toward clothing banks. And the same with Boys and Girls Clubs. We serve one Boys and Girls Club where they say probably the meal at the Boys and Girls Club is the only reliable meal that the children get that day. And so at least they know that when they send them home for the weekend, they've got enough food to get them through the weekend. Mm. So, you know, we're flexible. You know, we're still a size where we can respond to most needs pretty quickly. It's pretty amazing. And I just, you know, all glory goes to the Lord for what is able to happen. Whenever we think we're in a pickle, we end up not being in a pickle because the Lord fixes it.
So Holly, I'm one of those retired bankers, so I always have these numbers going through my head. Right now you're spending about $5,000 a week.
Yes.
On food.
Mm-hmm.
You could easily spend $10,000. No money's going to be stored away. It's going to buy food, and 100% of the food is going to be distributed. And that might not even be enough, but it's going to be a lot closer.
Correct.
So I just have to challenge our listeners. We need to figure out a way that we can try to get enough donations going to feed New Mexico kids so that kids have food on the weekends. And there's other food banks out there that are providing, like a family might actually have a home, have a stove, have mm-hmm. a refrigerator. And that's not necessarily who you're trying to Mm-mm. focus. You're actually providing a snack pack where none of the food needs to be cooked.
Right.
They might get a little hot water from the 7 to 11 so they can pour it in the ramen noodles or whatever.
Right.
But your bottom line is you're trying to provide some sustenance as healthy as possible and maybe even make it a little fun. You mentioned there's a treat in each
right.
one of the packs.
Right.
And you got to make a kid smile. You really do.
It goes a long way toward their sense of well-being. You know, we also put a note of encouragement inside each pack. Again, we're not able to say God bless you or we're praying for you, but we do say you're loved, you're special, mm-hmm. you're strong, you're capable, you're smart, you're terrific, you can do this. We have one little boy over in HUD Housing who, again, a single mom doing everything she can. Right. And there's just this little bit of difference that needs to happen in their world. And this little boy saves every single note of encouragement, every single note. And, you know, people say, well, why don't their own mothers put the note in the bag and blah, blah, blah. You know what? You don't know what you don't know. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to say, you know, I'm sorry, but you don't know what you don't know. And for the first 2 years of Feed New Mexico Kids, we didn't know to put notes of encouragement in. And it was one volunteer from a friend of mine's Bible study. They decided to do a snack pack packing project, and she thought it up. And so they called and they said, hey, can we do this? I said, great, as long as you're not proselytizing, not we're praying for you, not, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it was such a hit. The teachers kept telling us how much those notes meant to the kids. The mothers were crying, saying how much it meant to the kids. So now we do it in every single snack pack. Mm. And, you know, so I don't really accept that pointing of the finger because I'm like, hey, we were in the business of trying to feed and encourage kids, and we didn't know until one volunteer thought it up. And now we do it. Like, there's this cumulative knowledge that we have that we like to share with anybody who's interested in coming alongside and helping.
Food insecurity affects children differently at different ages, elementary, middle school, high school. Holly's going to tell us about that when we come back. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This is Chip Lusko, General Manager of KNKT and Star 88, and we have an opening in my office for a media assistant. After more than 4 years, Heidi Houston is accompanying her new husband to Europe, where he serves in our armed forces. While I'm happy for Heidi and Connor, I am now in need of a full-time assistant who can work with me on various radio and TV projects locally and on multimedia national and international outreaches for Connection Communications. Media experience is helpful, but not mandatory. A grasp of social media is required, and you need to be flexible. At The Connection, we move fast, think big, and try to have fun as we fulfill our primary task of preaching and teaching the gospel. If this sounds attractive to you, apply at calvarynm.church/jobs. That's calvarynm.church/jobs.
It's morning in Canton, Ohio. Joe McDermott is thirsty. He gets up from his easy chair and walks 20 feet to the kitchen. He turns on the faucet and fills up his glass. 8,000 miles away, Mahika walks barefoot for 3 miles to fill her clay jug with water. Problem is, this water is contaminated. The people of Mahika's village suffer from disease. Some die, but this is their only source of water. Joe, if you're listening, for just $30, Gospel Phrasia can provide a biosand water filter for Mahika and her family. This device makes water 98% pure. Or you can donate a Jesus well for her village, bringing clean water to 300 people. Joe, we hope you're listening, because people like Mahika are counting on you. Give the gift of life, the gift of water, and point the way to the living water through Gospel Phrasia. Thanks, Joe. Call 855-572-4628 or go to knkt.com and click the Gospel for Asia banner.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Holly and Dave Slade and their team at Dave Slade & Associates Realtors are sponsors of the programming on KNKT and our show, ABQ Connect. Call Holly or Dave at 342-8100 when you first start thinking about selling your home or buying a new one. Holly and Dave Slade at Dave Slade & Associates, doing business by the book. 342-8100 or reach them on the web at abqhomeseeker.com. Buy the book, Holly.
That's right. Buy the book. Our philosophy has always been, you know, take care of the customer and the Lord will take care of us. So that's what we aim to do.
And you are definitely using the sustenance you're given to help other people. And that's what we're talking about today with Feed New Mexico Kids.
We are. Steve said something off air and it made me cry, so now I have to wipe my tears on radio. We are, you know, because we believe in it. So we give a portion of every single commission to Feed New Mexico Kids because we believe in it. You know, it's not something that I have to twist Dave's arm to do or anything like that, but I so firmly believe that if all of us would give something, and people can give proportionately differently. You know, if you have a lot, give a lot. And it all doesn't have to go to Feed New Mexico Kids. If you have a little, give a little. And even that doesn't all have to go to Feed New Mexico Kids. But I remember there was a missionary that was speaking once, and he said, you know, it doesn't always help if, like, let's say you have $100 and you give $10 here, $10 there, $10 there, and $10 there. Sometimes the better thing to do is really pray your way through and give $100 to one place or $50 to two places. With Feed New Mexico Kids, it's a combination of both. We have the people who faithfully, they set it up on auto giving, and they give, you know, a monthly amount that comes in so regularly, and we can depend on it. And then there are other people that once a year, they'll write a check for $5,000 or $10,000 and send it in. And so we're very frugal. You know, we don't have any rent overhead. We don't even pay our utilities. There's a very generous businessman in town who has donated our space to us, and he pays our utilities. The volunteers cover all of their own expenses. We pay for boxes and tape, And then once a year, I usually buy the volunteers breakfast burritos. That's our big expense.
And, but you spend the majority of your food, 99% of it, on food.
Yeah. Yeah, we do.
And that's not even an easy thing, especially in the pandemic. There was a time when we couldn't buy 2 packages of macaroni and cheese.
I know. During the pandemic, we actually had to go out to alternate food sources, and our cost actually tripled for 4 weeks. But the Lord provided, you know, and we just, it's amazing truly what happens in the supernatural when people are faithful to do the natural. Mm-hmm. And for years, we have just prayed loaves and fish. And, you know, sometimes it feels like the widow's oil. We just are faithful to do what we can do with what we've got. And we just really watch the Lord multiply it. Like, I'm expecting those bins at Calvary to be full of single serve mac and cheese. And we're going to go and pack next week and go, look at this. We've got mac and cheese for everybody. But it's single serve, not the box.
Right.
Not the box that you have to have milk to. This single serve, only hot water.
I will say this as a compliment. Your leadership of Feed New Mexico Kids is really neat, and it's very unusual in that you don't lord over the administration of this thing. You will show a church, and I'm just going to point out 2 megachurches, uh-huh, Legacy and Calvary.
Mm-hmm.
You've taught both of those churches how to do this, what to do. They each have their own way to do it. I know Dustin is all behind it and going crazy, mm-hmm, at Legacy. And then you have Zanetta, who's part of the Calvary staff that helps you administrate. You have a warehouse where you have a lot of volunteers from Calvary Church and other churches coming to pack snack packs. But mm-hmm, what you've done is you've shown everybody how to do it, and then you let them have the flexibility to do it what fits their organization. Like you mentioned, a couple small churches, one in Rio Rancho, one in Bosque Farms.
Mm-hmm.
They have their way to do it.
Right.
And yet at the same time, tell us why it's important for them to do this all under the banner of Feed New Mexico Kids.
Well, I kind of draw this analogy between twinkle lights and a laser beam. Because I think if there are a whole lot of twinkle lights out there feeding kids, nobody knows where to go. It's hard to find the resources. So even as big as Feed New Mexico Kids is at this point, we still have schools that say, we didn't know. Because you have to remember, staff moves around, staff changes. So a counselor can move from a school that has very little food need to a school with great food need and have no idea what the resources are for additional food supply. We've only been in existence since 2017. So obviously we partner at the district level with APS, and they have given us their blessing, and they know about us. But an individual counselor would have to call the district to get to the right person and say, are there any food resources for the weekend? Well, when you operate in the school bubble, most all of the resources are designed for Monday through Friday. You know, they're not supposed to use those monies to do weekend or evening services. And so it's not in the paradigm of a school counselor. So if there's a bunch of little twinkle lights out there and nobody really knows, then when a counselor moves from school to school, and they used to kind of get it from this one little organization up in Rio Rancho, but now they work at a school in the South Valley, now you have to start all over again and see if you can find different resources. Whereas if you can just go to Feed New Mexico Kids and know that we work with multiple school districts, you can contact us directly on our website, and we can say, yes or no, we're in your area. And, you know, we have a church that partners with us down in the South Valley, Inspire ABQ, and they're a small church as well. But they are down there in the South Valley, and they are building relationships down there, and they are affecting their community. What works for them is they actually give Feed New Mexico Kids a monthly donation, and they come up and pick up prepacked snack packs from us, and they take them down to those schools in the far South Valley, Pajarito and Polk and all those schools that are down near Isleta. And they use those to build relationships, and then they have found out about family needs, where they've gone in and cleaned up yards for, you know, situations where you've got kids coming in, something happened to the parents and the grandparents are inheriting the kids and the, you know, the, the yard and the house and everything is not set up for it. And so our way of partnering is multifaceted. Like I said, it runs the gamut from a mega church that, you know, they have assembly lines and massive shopping expeditions and they pack a bunch of snack packs, to churches that have a sign up sheet, to a church that says, yeah, we don't even really have the ability to do that whole food shopping thing. Can we just give you some money and can we drive up and get the pre-made packs and then really infiltrate our community, build relationship and serve our community down here? And the answer is yes, yes, and yes.
Lot of great things. Holly, we're going to take one more break. And before the last break, I thought we'd get to this, but we didn't in that segment. That information just gave us is very valuable. But you said something in our first segment about an elementary school child that comes to school on Monday morning and has not eaten on Saturday or Sunday. Right. I'm going to have you paint that picture for us and talk about middle school and high school students as well. So when we come back, we'll get that from Holly. One more segment. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Early Christian education should glorify God by providing an orderly, nurturing, and stimulating atmosphere for students exploring the world around them. Calvary Preschool strives to do just that. Each child who attends grows mentally, physically, socially, and spiritually as they interact with a loving, caring group of adults and peers. Registration for the 2021-2022 school year opens on February 16th. Visit CalvaryChurchPreschool.com today for more information. That's CalvaryChurchPreschool.com.
King David, a man after God's own heart. He's the only person in Scripture called that. Listen to Skip Heitzig.
It mystifies us, really, because we know David. We've read the rest of the story. A man after God's own heart committed adultery with Bathsheba, got her husband drunk, killed him off.
Husband. The reason for this title shows us an important thing about God.
Don't think that that means perfect, because it wasn't. He had flaws. Another translation puts it this way, a man after God's own mind.
Find more from Skip at connectwithskip.com.
It's as if God is saying, I don't see David in his sin. I know his sin. But I'm seeing David with the potential for David to be something other than that. A man after my heart, my mind.
Subscribe to the Skip Heitzig YouTube channel.
Just think what God can do through you, no matter what your past is. What God can do through you.
God can do through you.
A man or woman sold out to God.
This is John MacArthur with more Portraits of Grace. What does it mean to be Spirit-filled? Well, the Greek word for be filled offers three different meanings that illustrate Paul's command. First, it describes the pressure of wind filling a ship's sails, wind that helps it move across the water. That's how the Holy Spirit leads us in obedience. Second, it refers to permeation, like what happens when you drop Alka-Seltzer into a glass of water. It fizzles and permeates the water with a distinct flavor. God wants us permeated, saturated through and through by the influence of the Holy Spirit. And the third and really primary meaning is that of domination or total control. So to be filled with the Spirit, yield every thought, every feeling, and every action to the control of the Holy Spirit.
Listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Be sure and call Indigo Mortgage for a quote when you are shopping for your next mortgage loan. Maybe you're refinancing. Maybe you're getting Holly Slade to find you a new home. Either way, the team at Indigo Mortgage will give you a clear and concise loan estimate. The team at Indigo Mortgage will explain how you can reduce your fees while getting the best interest rate possible. Call Ben and his team at 836-5700 or reach them on the web at indigomortgage.net. Indigo Mortgage, because nobody cares more about your mortgage loan. Boy, the real estate business has actually been booming as a result of COVID, hasn't it, Holly?
It has. People have a lot of need to move around. They're home officing now in a home that wasn't designed for it. Mm-hmm. There was enough room as long as everybody was at soccer or swim or cheer or whatever. But once everybody came home and started schooling at home and officing at home, there's a need for bigger homes. And then we've got a lot of our seniors that are deciding the climate is lovely here, but they are going to move back to where their children are, just in light of elder care and those types of things. And then we've got a lot of people from California that are moving here. being priced out of the California market, even people that are being priced out of the Colorado market that are coming to New Mexico. We tend to have sort of a net zero growth, as many people moving out as are moving in, but there's a lot of movement.
Mm. I was talking with Carla Sontag with the New Mexico Business Coalition yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and she was talking about the things that we need to do in New Mexico to make this an attractive place for people to move into and how we can attract jobs and all of those kind of things. New Mexico is literally at the bottom of every good list.
Mm-hmm.
And we just need to change that. And the only way we can do that, and I admire you, Holly, because you could have said, gee, my heart's really hurting for all these kids in New Mexico that are not eating on the weekends. So maybe I should move to a wealthy suburb of Denver where this isn't happening. And you could have easily done that, but you chose to stay and literally fight.
Right. Yeah. Do something about it.
I want you to tell us about I want you to give us detail about that elementary school child that hasn't eaten Saturday and Sunday. And I can't help but ask our listeners to put themselves in that child's place. Maybe you eat this Friday and don't eat on Saturday and Sunday. Come to work on Monday and call us and tell you how you feel about that.
Yeah. Let us know how you function, how well you do on Monday. You know, one of the most heartbreaking stories was a little 6-year-old, and the counselor had to do a suicide assessment on a 6-year-old. Mm. And that alone should stop everybody in their tracks right there. Why is a 6-year-old thinking of suicide? And as the teacher, you know, probed and just had a heartfelt conversation, he just thought that maybe his mom's life would be easier if she didn't have to work so hard to try and take care of him and feed him. So guess what turned suicide around in a 6-year-old? A snack pack. She started giving him snack packs on the weekend. He's a different child, well adjusted, because he just perceived that somebody was helping mom, you know, and he's getting a little extra nutrition. And so life is now okay, and he's no longer talking about killing himself. And then you go up to the teenage years, and a hungry teen is 5 times as likely to commit suicide. So now take how you're functioning as an adult on your Monday morning work day, you know. Now go back to puberty, and you've got your hormones spiking and dropping and spiking and dropping. And adults joke around about being hungry and angry, mm-hmm. you know, as a result. Imagine going through puberty. All the peer pressure around you, and you have no food. Mm-hmm. And imagine the hopelessness. And so when you're, you know, 14 and that's going on, you're not old enough to work, and you just literally have no hope, no option. Where is somebody 12, 13, 14 supposed to go to get more food? What? Honestly, it's behind a fair amount of crime. You know, shoplifting of food. Joining gangs so that you can have protection when you shoplift food, selling drugs so that you can have money in order for survival. And it's interesting, I'm not justifying those things, but when you start peeling back the layer of the onion and you find out that we're leading the nation in childhood hunger, what is a child supposed to do? And I have people that want to point the fingers at the parents, and I just say, you know, look, I'm not talking about the parents. I can't do anything about the parents. I'm trying to help the child. We have first responders that go on calls. Mom's OD'd on the floor. And you've got a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old in squalor on the sofa. And they're looking for something to feed the children while they're attending to mom. That's part of, you know, the well-being of the family. And there's nothing but beer in the refrigerator. Okay. Even if I guided that mom to a food pantry, that is not going to equal food in those children's stomachs. Mm. And so part of the design for Feed New Mexico Kids is we go straight to the child for a reason. For a reason. There are those times where it's a really hardworking single mom doing everything they can, or really hardworking grandparents that are, for whatever reason, taking care of 10 grandchildren. They're doing everything they can. And then there are those other cases where mom, dad, uncle, whoever is strung out on drugs or prostituting or in and out of jail or whatever. And we just look at the child and say, It doesn't matter what circumstances got you here. We're going to help you, the child.
And the food they don't have to cook.
Nope.
So it's all by design so that they have something to eat. You shared a story about an elementary school child. I want to say he was 5 or 6 that was actually taking care of a couple younger siblings, and you were giving them a couple extra snack packs for them.
Yeah, he was in 3rd grade, and he was taking care of 3 younger siblings. They were all sharing 1 toothbrush, no toothpaste. Mom was a prostitute. Dad was in jail. And he was just this tenacious little guy. And so we gave him extra snack packs for the other siblings, and he came and got them every week. And he would say that he was going to grow up and feed other hungry children when he got older. And so there it is again, having an effect on their well-being, their effect on how they view the world and how they view themselves, that this little guy, because he could pick up snack packs at school and take them to his siblings, he saw himself as a hero. He didn't see himself as a victim. He saw himself as a hero, and he had a hero mentality that he was going to grow up and be a hero to other people. And, you know, we have situations, too, where there's abuse involved. You know, you mentioned it's single-serve food so that a child can open and eat. We include a spoon and a napkin. So it's pop-top lid ravioli, single-serve mac and cheese. It's a protein bar, a granola bar, a packet of trail mix, a packet of peanuts. We do put in a couple little fruit snacks in there. We put in an applesauce squeeze. You know, we try not to overload it with sugar. We put in ramen. You know, there's this combination of protein, belly filler, you know, and just foods that make it affordable and can get them through an entire weekend. And there was one little girl that Health and Human Services was finally able to get her out of the house because the parents were intentionally starving her, and the school could observe it. And, you know, they reported it, but it takes time to remove a child. It doesn't happen overnight. Mm. And so when they went in to get her personal belongings, they found dozens of our empty snack pack remnants underneath her bed. Mm. She had to hide that she was even having something to eat. And some of these kids, that's what they have to do. They've got teenage siblings or cousins or whatever that are going to bully them and take the food away from them. That's why we don't do a separate backpack. We let the child put it discreetly in their backpack, which again is why we have some kind of overseeing adult involved, whether it's the school or somebody at HUD Housing or a counselor at a Boys and Girls Club, you know, because if let's say it's a kindergartner that's got a peanut allergy, there's an adult in that mix that knows that and will take out the peanut products and make sure that that child is safe. You know, we got our original list from APS, from the McKinney-Vento Homeless Project office. That's where the original list started. And then we, you know, refined it from there. But, yeah, sometimes the kids have to hide that they're eating.
Mm. Holly, just a logistical matter. And, again, you know, you're just counting on the generosity of people to support the ministry. But it really does make it easier to budget and increase the number of packs you're producing every week if it is a regular donation.
Correct. Yeah, I'm a responsible business person. And so when a school calls and says, we need 30 snack packs, or a school that is receiving 30 calls and says, we need 20 more, I have to look at the budget and say, can we sustain this? You know, can we? Okay, we can maybe do it for 2 weeks, but guess what? We can't keep it on to the end of the school year. And so, you know, when school opens up and I'm expecting a tidal wave of need in the coming school year, you know, we ramp up and the number grows and grows and grows for the first few months of school. And I'm watching the numbers, being responsible and projecting. So, yes, we need financial partners that partner with us monthly.
Mm. Holly, thanks so much for sharing this with us. Your vision is amazing, and I just pray that God continues to bless the ministry and that we get our children fed.
Thanks so much, Jim. I appreciate your support.
ABQ ABQ Connect is presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. For service, call 504-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.